Good morning.
There you go.
You may be a small group, but you're larger than the group that's meeting in my church in Linden this morning, which is closed. And the other churches in Linden I know of are also closed. So the Lord blesses us here, huh, to be able to come together. And thank you, Mark, for that Heidelberg Catechism. We're going to be talking this morning about yours for the asking, and there's no better explanation of that, this Bible passage that I'm going to read than that first question and answer. Why do Christians need to pray? And the phrase, because God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who unceasingly ask. That's really the heart and core of the passage we're going to read from 1 John 5:14 this morning. And by the way, there is an outline, and I'll try to stick close enough to it so you can fill in blanks if you want to. 1 John 5:14-15 will be my text, and the setting is there, beginning in verse 13, where John is saying, as part of his concluding remarks, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And then these words, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That would be prayer. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. This is the Word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Yours for the asking. There's a story, you may have heard it, of a hungry voyager who was immigrating to the United States. Good thing it wasn't today, huh? Traveling from Europe, as I understand it, and planning to be an immigrant in America. He didn't have a lot of money, so he decided that he would save what he could along the way. He packed a trunk full of crackers and cheese. And instead of going to the ship's cafeteria, dining hall, he decided that he would have crackers and cheese for breakfast and crackers and cheese for lunch and crackers and cheese for dinner and crackers and cheese day after day after day. Until the last day when he was feeling a little weak, and decided to get one good meal. And showing up in the dining hall, decided to order a meal, couldn't find a menu, couldn't find any prices, and then the waitress explained that, oh, didn't you know, all the meals were part of the ticket. All you had to do is come and ask. I would call him a crackers and cheese traveler. Didn't know to ask. I think there are quite a few crackers and cheese Christians, don't you? Who don't know how to ask. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Why does the Heidelberg Catechism say, for example, God will give His grace, that's a spiritual riches, and His Holy Spirit only to those who unceasingly ask. Why doesn't He just give them and give them and give them? Why does He necessitate our asking? When I first discovered this magnificent truth from 1 John 5, I began to ask myself, how often do I ask? How often have I asked for holiness and godliness and wisdom and spirit-filledness and humility and purity and how often do you ask for those kinds of things? That's the question we're trying to ask and answer this morning. God's good graces, His spiritual riches, are ours for the asking. This is really an outrageous promise that God gives us in 1 John 5:14, that He will give to our asking. And I want to be clear up front. We're not talking here about asking for health and wealth. We're not talking about creature comforts, earthly pleasures, huge bank accounts, big houses, snazzy cars, and luxurious vacations. No, we're talking about asking for God's good graces, the spiritual riches. As the Catechism says it, His grace and Holy Spirit. As Paul says, the things that pertain to life and godliness. As Peter says it, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Things like faith and hope and love and joy and peace and righteousness and wisdom. Those are the kind of things he's challenging us to ask for. So to jump into the outline that you have in front of you, the first thing we see here, very simply from this passage, is that God urges us to ask for ourselves. And when we underscore the phrase "for ourselves," we're talking about petition. Now, we've had some wonderful praise this morning. Excuse me. All right, how's that? Better? Okay. We've had thanks. We've had intercession, which I had led. But now we're talking about a very specific kind of praying, asking for ourselves. God wants us to ask. In fact, in this little passage, he underscores it twice. He says, if you ask for anything, and then in verse 15, whatever you ask. Asking, of course, means prayer. And it means serious prayer, obviously. Not perfunctory recitations, but words that come from the heart, understanding that there's a deep need for us to receive from God what he is offering us, his grace and his Holy Spirit. And he really wants us to come and ask. He believes it's incredibly important. In fact, in John 15, he reminds us that apart from him, we can do nothing. And James tells us in James, I think it's chapter 4, verse 2, as he speaks to impoverished believers, you know what the problem is? You don't have because you don't ask. The truth is that spiritually impoverished believers today are impoverished in large part because they don't ask. We don't have to stumble through life. We don't have to be spiritually impoverished. We can live spiritually enriched life. I have, Jesus is saying, what you really need, the abundant life. And please, please come and ask. Second thing to say in this section is God wants us to ask for ourselves. That was a theme that I missed for years in my own spiritual journey. And part of the reason that it's not so clear to believers today is that it's not clear in the English language. In this verse, where we read that this is the confidence we have, and if we ask for ourselves, if we ask something in accord with his will, we receive it. But what isn't clear is what's actually in the Greek, in the middle voice, which Don would know, and any other pastor around, a Greek scholar, it means ask for yourself. So in this verse, John is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying through John, this is the confidence we have in him that if we ask for ourselves, it's petitionary prayer. There are lots of elements in prayer, and they're all important. But this one, I think, is the most neglected of all. Asking for ourselves. Not all the whistles and bells that we like, but for the spiritual riches that God has for us in Jesus Christ. Second thing to see here, though, the next thing is that God wants us to keep on asking. That, too, is embedded in the Greek language here, a present tense. So what he's really saying is this is the confidence you can have that if you keep on asking for yourselves something in accord with my will, I will grant it. Imagine that twice a week you ask for joy, peace, love, faith, grace, holiness, godliness. Twice a week on a regular basis. Oh, that'd be 100 times a year. Ooh. Suppose you did that for 10 years. For 1,000 times you would have asked. You know what would happen? You would be so incredibly blessed and spiritually rich that people would be coming up to you and saying, what's the difference in your life? I've seen that happen. And why does God want us to ask so constantly? If we could do it just once, why doesn't he just hold on to that and keep on dumping it out? Well, we'd forget what the source was, wouldn't we? But when we ask on a constant basis, then we're aware of that we need, of what we need, of where it comes from, who gives it, why he gives it, when he gives us, and in the end we're returning thanks to him for that very thing. And we're getting at the very heart of humility, which is giving God credit for the blessings in our lives. No, it's necessary to keep on asking. And that's what he's talking about. The next thing to say is that God wants us to ask in accord with his will. Again, same kind of thing that came through in the catechism. God gives his grace and his spirit. Those are obviously, are they not, things in accord with his will. He gives them only to those who unceasingly ask. Not anything we want, not the American dream, but what he wants for us. Things that will bring transformation into our lives. God locked this into me in a very personal way long ago. Our son Don was about 7-8 years old, just learning to read. Walked into my study one day and said, Dad, can I have a Bible? I said, why do you want a Bible, son? And he said, well, we're starting to memorize verses in Sunday school, and I want to mark those verses in my own Bible. And we're starting to read passages out of the scripture in my school class, and I want to read them out of my own Bible. How long do you suppose it took me to get him his Bible? How long would it have taken you as parents? Well, he had his Bible within 24 hours. Why? Well, he asked in accord with my will. You know, you understand. Suppose that you were to ask for wisdom. Not a bad thing to ask for. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom at all cost. So you ask for that twice a week for 10 years, 1,000 times. What comes along with that? Well, Proverbs 3:13 says, blessed is the person who finds wisdom. She is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. And Proverbs 8:11 says, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. See, God has so much to give us. And he's so deeply concerned that we have these things and we're blessed through these things. But he doesn't want to be taken for granted. He wants us to ask. So start making your list. At the end of this service, we're going to have time to pray over that list a little bit. The next thing, though, to see here is that God wants us to ask with confidence. With confidence. Notice that the passage says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we continue to ask for ourselves in accord with his will, the very things he wants for us, what he's talking about is faith. Asking in confidence is asking in faith. Now, there are some kids in our neighborhood in Linden who come into our house periodically, and they're not at all embarrassed to ask for things. They come right after school. They come for music lessons. And they're a little bit hungry sometimes, and so they're not at all ashamed of saying, you know, you got a cookie or a piece of an apple or something like that? They're our grandkids. That's why they're not ashamed to ask. And if they didn't ask, I'd be there saying, hey, do you want anything? Yeah, you know, just ask. And we've got a lot. The refrigerator's full. There's some other kids in our neighborhood. If they came and rang the doorbell and said, hey, can I have a cookie or an apple? I'd say, wait a minute. I don't know you, do I? Why are you coming asking me? You should talk to your mom and dad. You live down the street. See, God wants us to ask with absolute confidence. I like the way Eugene Peterson translates this phrase. He says, how bold and free we become in his presence, freely asking. And that's what God has in mind. God wants us to ask with freedom and with confidence because he's our Abba and we are his children. And he has so much for us and he desperately wants us to have it in response to our asking. Right asking, though, does have a condition. In fact, two conditions. Asking entails faith and obedience. That comes to the faith part comes through clearly from what James says in his first chapter, and you probably know it. He says, picking up on one of these spiritual riches, if any of you lack wisdom, he's talking to us, isn't he? All you need to do is ask, and God will give generously to all. It will be given if you just ask. And then it seems as though James has a little pause, and he's thinking this thing through, and he says, but wait a minute. If you ask for wisdom, be sure you ask in faith. You must believe and not doubt, because if you doubt when you ask, you're like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. So faith means being absolutely sure. God is there. God is faithful. God is loving. God never breaks a promise. Asking in faith. There's one more condition, though, and that is to ask with a posture of obedience. If you were to flip back two chapters in John and go back to 1 John 3:22, this is what you would read. You would read something that sounds a lot like our text for today. We have confidence before God, and we receive from him everything we ask. That sounds familiar. But then he goes on saying, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Let me put it simply. Back when I discovered this concept, this rich, wonderful concept, this need, God urging us to ask, I was still an active pastor, and one of the things I put on my list was, Lord, make me a man of the Word. I really want to be a man of the Word. I had to be a pastor. But if I had prayed that prayer 1,000 times, and all the while I'm praying, Lord, make me a man of the Word, I left that word lying closed on a shelf. How do you suppose he would answer? Disobedience. No. We need to ask, obeying his commands and doing what pleases him. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So yes, here's the crux of what John is saying. We can pray with absolute confidence if we continually ask for ourselves, for the things that are in accord with his will, and trust that he is ready and willing to give those to us and step out in obedience. Well, the second thing we need to see is that God promises to grant our requests. And that's the second part of the verse 14, if we ask in accord with his will in that right way, we know that he hears us. Now, when I looked up the word hear in the Greek dictionary, what I came up with was a little phrase to describe it. a phrase that suggests that it's a lot more than just hearing the sound of or paying attention to or getting the message through being tuned in. No, the word hear in the Greek literally means agree to grant. So let's plug that in here. This is the confidence that we have. If we continually ask for ourselves in accord with His will, God agrees to grant. The God who never broke a trust, never broke a promise in all His life. So you ask for wisdom, and God says, I agree to grant. You ask for peace, and God says, I agree to grant that. You ask for holiness, and God says, I agree to grant that. Jesus taught that our Heavenly Father would generously give good things to those who ask. Having discovered it here in John, I suddenly began to discover it in many other places in the Scriptures, which is probably why they wrote it into the Heidelberg Catechism. Jesus, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, in fact, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, after He's talked about all the kinds of things that He expects us to do and the ways He expects us to live, He had set the bar about this high. He's probably realizing that we can't possibly live up to that. And He says, wait a minute. Let me tell you how you can. Ask, and it will be given. Who? You. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Commands it. Same idea. Last day of His regular life on earth, before the cross, saying to His disciples, knowing that He's leaving them, trying to help them bridge this strange separation, which is going to be a greater unity. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask for yourselves, same Greek word, ask for yourselves anything and I will grant it. There it comes again. How much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Said Jesus. And that was what He taught very shortly after this amazing statement in Matthew 7. In order to drive home the point, He said, now wait a minute, you parents know, even though you're still struggling with sin, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. And to put it in the current, if they ask for a pretzel, you don't give them a pencil. If they ask for a Coke, you don't give them paint thinner. You know how to give good. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? What are those good gifts? Oh, same list. Faith, love, joy, peace, holiness, wisdom, godliness to those who ask. The graces God offers, I want to underscore, are extremely valuable. Our Father, who makes this offer to us, is the richest person in the world. The resources of, if you were offered the resources of Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, and with a little bit of the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers thrown in, that would be far, far short. In fact, only comparatively pennies compared to what God is offering us here, His spiritual riches. Again, the riches we're talking about are not the checking account riches or the savings account, but they're riches for our spiritual lives. They're not abundant dollars, they're abundant life. I like to watch sometimes the ads in which people have won the publisher's clearinghouse, you know? You've seen those on television. Oh, people get so excited about those things. Nothing compared to what we're being offered here. And now to go on to one more little thing here. God promises to give us the very graces that we choose to have. Did you notice that in verse 15 it says, if we know that He hears us, in other words, if we know that He agrees to grant, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked. Very simply, if you're asking for wisdom, He won't give you hope. If you're asking for hope, He's not going to give you faith. If you're asking for faith, He's not going to give you knowledge. You and I get to pick. He'll give us what we ask. And I'm standing before you this morning to encourage you to start, if you've not done this before, start developing a list. A list of the kinds of things that, well, spiritual riches from heaven that God wants you to have and he knows you need and you have come to understand that you need them. So where do you start? Well, I started making a list once and I got up to 80 and I was I decided to stop right there because I thought, well, that's enough to start with. I would say, number one, start with where you are in your spiritual journeys. Are you struggling with impatience? Ask for patience. If you're struggling with worries and anxieties, ask for peace. If you struggle with lust, ask for purity. If you struggle with pride, ask for humility. God's willing to deliver on all of those counts. And it may be starting where you are in life. If you're a student, you'd probably want to be asking about disciplines and a good mind and understanding and friends. If you're a teenager, you're probably going to be asking about guidance and choice and remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. If you're a parent, you're going to obviously be asking about the kind of challenges that you as parents have. If you're an employee, you want to talk about being diligent. If you're a senior citizen, you may be asking him about loneliness or fruitfulness, humility. That's one way to do it. Another place, though, is to start your list and then go back to the Scriptures. If he's invited you to put wisdom on your list to ask for on a regular basis, then open the Scripture and begin to study wisdom, and you'll find dozens and dozens of passages that will enlarge your understanding of that. If he's put peace on your list, go study peace and let him work through the passages and teach you about that. But there's another possible way. I would say don't forget to start with what I would call the big ones. The big ones. There are some blessings that are so wide they seem to incorporate a lot of other things. For example, if you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, well, there's a lot of things that come along with that. Ask to be conformed to the image of Christ. Ask to be delivered from evil. Ask to be a person of prayer. All of those are what I would call big ones. And as God answers them, he's going to answer them over a period of time. And as he answers them, you're going to see more and more of those spiritual riches flowing. Again, what the Catechism was talking about. God gives his grace and his Spirit to those who continually ask. That's you, isn't it? That's me, hopefully. One other thing that's underscored in this passage, which I think is very interesting, and it's just this. We know that we have what we've asked even before we see the answer. Do you notice verse 15? If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. It's not the future that we will get. We know that we have what we have asked of him. If we know that God is there, and we know that God is true, and we know that God is has a heart full of love for us, even before we see the answer, we know that it belongs to us. And when we know that it belongs to us, we can already, at that moment, begin to say, thank you. I found that it not only helps to say thank you before we even see the answer, which comes inevitably, but even to try to imagine it. So I put joy on my list, and I say, thank you, Lord, for the joy. I haven't seen it yet, but it's come. Thank you, Lord, for the joy. And then I try to imagine what that joy will be like. And when it comes, oh, yeah, now I see it. I see it. The last thing to say here is simply this. God answers in his own time and his own way. And that is always best. In other words, when we ask in this way, we should not expect that God is going to deliver in the way we expect and on our timetable. What we are sure of is that God in his love wants what's best. God in his wisdom knows what's best. And God in his power will deliver what's best. But it will be in his way and on his time. For example, if you're asking for patience, God may give you trials. He may even send a person into your life to try your patience, because that's sometimes his way. You know what I'm talking about. Huh? And as far as waiting, well, read Hebrews 11, all those great heroes of faith, and notice how often they had to wait for God to deliver his amazing promises. Sometimes God surprises us with an answer that we didn't really expect. I remember years ago when I settled into the second congregation where the Lord put us in South Holland, Illinois, I was eager to see that new church plant flourish through evangelism. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to share my faith very well. Would you teach me how to share my faith? As a pastor, I think I need to have that locked in here for this congregation. About 5 or 6 weeks after starting to pray that prayer, we had a table and chair set down in our basement, which we didn't need anymore. It was with that particular house, and so we had advertised it, and Linda showed up in the afternoon in response to our ad and looked it over, and she said, well, I want to show it to my husband, Craig, and so we'll be back this evening. So it was a Saturday night. They came. We walked down to the basement, looked at the table, got into a car. They said, it looks great. We'll take it. We'll come back on next week and pick it up. And so we got into a conversation, and I realized Craig was telling me that they were of Christian Science background, the cult, Christian Science. And he said, I grew up in a Christian Science home, but it didn't suit me very well, and I've kind of given up on that. And so I invited him for a cup of coffee. We were sitting upstairs in our kitchen and drinking a cup of coffee and having a little snack, and I hear Craig asking me, he said, you folks talk about being born again. What does that mean? It wasn't until a couple hours afterwards that it suddenly dawned on me that I had been praying for the last 5 weeks to help me share, that God would help me share my faith. He started me out very simply. Walked somebody into my home, sat him down on my table, and asked me the first question. Great God, yeah. That's the way it goes. Sometimes he surprises us. And sometimes when we ask, he goes way overboard. Think of Solomon, to whom God made an incredible promise and said, ask whatever you will and I'll grant it. And Solomon kind of filtered some things through his head, riches, honor, long life. Ah, he stopped on wisdom. He knew he needed wisdom in order to build the kingdom of God where he was just newly appointed as king. And having asked for wisdom, God came back. He's so pleased at that good request. And he said, well, I'll not only give you wisdom, Solomon, but I'll give you riches and honor and long life too. Sometimes God does that when we ask for the right things. This morning, in a few minutes, we're going to exercise our asking faith by going to the table. It's really asking God to reconfirm to us what he has done through Jesus Christ and the cross. It's really asking that as we eat the bread, we are knowing that he is the bread of life. And as we drink the juice, that his life blood flows to us and through us to cleanse us. It's praying as well. We've heard prayer a lot of different ways this morning, from the catechism and through the songs and in reality and through the scriptures. And this too is a kind of asking and a kind of saying, God, we take your word for gospel truth. We ask and we receive and we eat and we drink as a symbol of our, as a way of saying we believe your promises, Lord, and we know that you always deliver. Asking is God's way to the abundant life, to the good and beautiful life, the victorious life, the blessed life. It's what God wants for you and for me, his children. And it's available. It's available to all who ask in accord with his will, in faith, and in obedience. So do you believe that? If so, then what will you do about it? Don't be a crackers and cheese Christian. Abundant life is yours. Let's close with a prayer, and I'm going to start with a silent prayer in which you have an opportunity in your own personal way to start that list, if you haven't had one before, asking for the riches that God promises to you, his son, his daughter in Christ. Let's bow together. Thank you, gracious Father, for your incredible love and generosity, and for the simplicity and pointedness of your reminder through your disciple John that if we ask continually for ourselves things in accord with your will, that you will indeed grant them. We take you at your word, Father. We take you at your word, Jesus, and we take Holy Spirit as you as the one who would deliver on these promises and give us the love and joy and peace and faith and hope and wisdom and all the things you want so desperately for us to have. Strengthen us in faith. Let us step out in obedience as we commit ourselves to you. In Christ's name, amen.